reaching to a world in desperate need of you, God. How we love you, Jesus. How we praise you. How we honor you for your goodness and your mercy and your grace, God. We stand in awe of you this evening, God. We love you. We praise you. In your precious name, in Jesus' precious name, we pray. Hallelujah. Can we sing this together?
When the music fades and all is stripped away, and I simply come, longing just to bring something that's worth, that will bless your heart. For a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus.
Standing, give the opportunity to go around and greet one another. One of the ushers will be at the back of the offering plate. You can go by way and worship with your wallet and take opportunity to greet one another as we sing.
Blessed be your name, when I'm found in the
darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be the name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. How we worship you, Lord. How we praise you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah,
Jesus. What a statement in the song. My heart will choose to say. Whether the sun's shining down on me and the world's all as it should be, or whether I'm on the road marked with suffering, my heart, no matter the situation, no matter the circumstance, my heart will choose to say, blessed be your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Young people, you may retire to the upper room. For those of you who were not able to be here with us on our business meeting on Sunday night, I do want to announce to you that we have, as a congregation, as a body, we have elected Brother Bill Kellum to serve as a trustee on the board. And so we thank you for that and publicly acknowledge it. We did on the business meeting, but for those of you who were not here, I'll let you know that he has been elected to that position. Thank you for your time in being here on Sunday night, going over the business of the church. I'd rather preach or teach or, I don't know, do kids' dramas, anything other than business meetings, but they have to happen, and so thank you for your indulgence in that. Another special thing that that happened today 35 years ago was our own Sister Rachel Wallace was born. And so it's her birthday, and we would be remiss not to sing to her the happy birthday song. You ready? Happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you. May you feel Jesus near every day of the year. A happy birthday to you, a happy birthday to you, and the best year you've ever had. Happy birthday. She just loves the spotlight. She loves when you point her out and all that good stuff. So happy birthday. We are going to take some needs of the Lord in prayer. I would ask you to remember a special need. One of the contractors that I work with on one of the sites found out, I guess it was a few days ago, maybe Monday evening or Sunday evening. I'm not sure the exact day, but his father, 57 years of age, died unexpectedly in the middle of the night. They believe it was a heart attack. They don't know. He wasn't in bad health in that sense. He had some diabetes and other complications, but it was something that happened pretty unexpectedly. And so the man who I interact with, and no, I did not know his father, but I do know the man whose father passed away. His name is Brad Ellis. So let's remember Brad Ellis and his family. That God's comfort would be there. I sent him a text today and just told him that I was thanking and praying for him. So let's remember Brad Ellis and his family. Anybody else have a prayer request you'd like to make mention in church? Sister Pat Phillips. All right, let's remember Sister Doris in prayer. Certainly. Sister Angie. All right, let's remember Brother Mark Dameron, certainly. Sister D. All right. All right. All right. All right. Sister Day, I saw your hand then, Sister Kel. All right, Tom and Nancy Lucas. Just go. All right. All right. Mr. Carey. All right. Certainly. Anybody else? All right. Why don't we stand our feet? Why don't we go to the Lord right now? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you that you're a healer, that you're a help. God, that we can come to you with every need, every care, and concern of life. Lord, I ask you, God, speak peace to the family of Brad Ellis, God, the sudden loss of his father. God, I pray that your hand of comfort would be upon him. God, Lord, use me, God, to speak words, God, of encouragement and life in him, God. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to make the acquaintance. Lord, let me make the most of the moment. God, Lord, I love you. I thank you. Let me be a witness in word and deed, God. Lord, I pray for these other requests that have been made known, whether spoken or not, God. For those in need of healing, God, you're able to heal. For Brother Mark Damron, God, not only in his illness, God, but in looking for employment, God, we know that you're able to open doors, God. You're able to do, God, and we thank you that we can come to you and believe in you and trust in you, God. For Tom Lucas, God, we thank you for the praise report that he has pulled through, Lord. We know there's a long way ahead, Lord, but we know that ultimately it is your desire, God, to not just heal the body, but heal the soul, God, and we ask that you would work in that situation, God. Lord, use, God, this situation for your glory, God. We love you, God. We thank you. We praise you, God, for those who have family maybe moving, God, or going through situations. Lord, we know that we can trust you, God. Lord, use us as instruments, God, as vessels of your choosing to speak words of life and encouragement and strength. We would stretch forth our hands to heal in your power and your authority, God, to see, God, your wondrous working power, God, made possible in our midst. God, we love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. Jesus, in your precious name, in Jesus' precious name we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Also asking, didn't remember the Taking It to the Streets community prayer event that we are going to have here on the 16th. We have good reports, and they were able to block off the main street, and we've already had some groups going out. There's another group going out on Saturday. If you would be able and willing to join them from 10 a.m. to noon on Saturday, they're going out handing out flyers and inviting people to the event, and we have sent flyers to the surrounding churches. And so we're just trying to promote it, get it out there. I know we've been websites and that sort of stuff. So trying to get the word out. And if you could help us in that, and one way you can definitely help us is pray. And God's hand would be upon that. You may be seated. We are continuing in our study entitled The Biggest Little Words. We're talking about little words in the Bible, if you will, little words in reference to how God answers us sometimes, and then how our responses to those little words make such a big difference. Last week we talked about the example of Moses, in that God told Moses to go, and we talked about the difference that was made not only in his life, but his family and the children of Israel as a result of his response, as a result of him doing what God asked him to do, as a result of Moses making the decision to be involved in the plan of God. And so that was, we talked about go last week, and so tonight we're going to talk about no. When God says no. And I would say this, sometimes in your walking relationship with God, this is, as they say, a tough pill to swallow. When we ask and we request, and a lot of times we think our motive is pure and we're right in our asking, and we beseech the Lord, we ask the Lord, and he says no. Or like he did the disciples when they ask, will thou this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he says, it's not for you to know. And those things where God chooses to either withhold what we're asking or simply tell us no. Sometimes the no is in the present sense, but that doesn't mean it's always a no. Maybe it's no for right now. Because answering that or giving that to us or supplying that presently is not in his plan. And so we talked about the difference between, and we've been kind of hitting this throughout the study, we talked about the difference between God's collective plan and God's individual plan. How that God has a collective plan that will come to pass. But he desires to use us in his collective plan in an individual way. But whether or not we are used in that way is dependent upon our choices, because he has given us free will. He has given us the opportunity to accept or reject. But we also need to understand that when it comes to our relationship with God, we need to understand that he has that authority in our lives, that when we ask, he has the authority to reject. To say, no, not good for you. It's not what you need right now. And so we're going to look into that tonight when God says no. Let's look at This is a study of how our response to little words make a big difference. Focus verse is found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, verses 7 through 9. Paul writing to the church at Corinth, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," that means three times, "that it might depart from me, and he said unto me," now I understand, we don't have it there where God says no, but this is what God says, "No, my grace is sufficient for thee. I'm not going to relieve you of this, Paul. I'm not going to take this from you. You've made the request. You've asked three times, and here's my answer. No. My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore," Paul says, "will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Understand that, and we'll talk about this here in just a little bit. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he's looking back to this event, to this occurrence in his life. He's looking back to the time when this was going on, and he asked the Lord that it would depart from him, that he would not have to deal with this anymore. And God simply says, "No, Paul, my grace is sufficient. There's something else you need to learn in this situation, and so I'm not going to give you what you ask. My response to you is no." And we talked about this in the introduction. We have to be able to understand that when it comes to God telling us no, or when God says no, it is not a personal rejection of us. Essentially, it is a rejection because it is not in his plan for us. It's not based upon us having favor or not having favor with God. When God rejects, or when God says no to something we are asking or something we are requesting, it's not because he's having a bad day and we caught him in a bad mood. It is because his plan is greater than what we want and what we desire. And so he tells us no, not in a rejection of us, but in a rejection of us trying to do something other than what his plan is. And he will not facilitate something other than his plan. And so it's not a rejection of us individually, but rather it's a rejection of our attempt to go outside his plan for us. We ask him to facilitate that. And we ask him, "Lord, can you make this possible? Would you be able to do this?" Now you think about this. This is something that even Jesus himself asked. "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Lord, I know. I've read the prophecies. I know what is about to happen. I know. I've even told the disciples what's about to take place. I know it's time for all this to be fulfilled. But if there's another way, if it's possible that this can be accomplished by some other means, Lord, if it be possible. Father, if it can happen another way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I would prefer not to have to do this. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Your plan supersedes my preference. Your plan and what you desire and your will is superior to my will and my want and my desire." Really, that's what it comes down to in our response to it. When God says no, will we come to the place where we concede and say, "Okay, God, your will and your plan is greater than my preference and my desire. And so I submit." There's that ugly word. "I submit to your will and to your way." So let's talk about, we've talked a lot about the plan. Let's look at the plan for Paul.
You go back into the book of Acts, and Acts 9:13. This is when Paul has been, he was on the road to Damascus. Many of us know the story. And he's struck with there's a bright light. He falls off the donkey. Here's a voice from heaven. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. For the next 3 days, Paul is blind. And the Bible says he doesn't eat and he doesn't drink. And then God comes, an angel comes to Ananias and says, you need to go. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints in Jerusalem. This is Ananias. When God tells him, you got to go, Paul's seen you come in a vision. And lay your hands on him that he would receive his sight. So you need to go. Ananias says, wait. Kind of like Moses. I ain't going. You know who you're talking about, Lord? That's the man that's killing all of us, Jesus people. That's the man that's delivering us up. How much evil he had done to thy saints in Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. You want me to go visit this guy? He's got the authority to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. There's another. We could have used this last week. Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me. Here's the plan. To bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Here's my plan, Ananias. I have a plan for this man. He's going to bear my name to the Gentiles and to kings and to the children of Israel. He is going to be instrumental in delivering the gospel to much of the known world. That's my plan, Ananias. You have an opportunity to be a part. And guess what? If Ananias would have refused, God would have used someone else. And we wouldn't be reading about Ananias. But guess what? Ananias responded to go, and it made a big difference. And he went, and he prayed for Paul, and Paul received his sight. He was Saul of Tarsus at the time, I know that. But we know him as Paul the Apostle. So that was the plan that God had in place. For at that time, Saul of Tarsus, who had become Paul the Apostle. But let's talk a little bit about this thing, the thorn. There's a lot of conjecture. You can read all kinds of commentaries. There's a lot of opinions as to exactly what this thorn was. I have my own ideas. I'm sure some of you in here have your own ideas as to what you think this thorn that the Apostle Paul references as writing to the church at Corinth is. Don't know exactly what it is. The Bible doesn't really tell us exactly what the Apostle Paul is dealing with. What messenger of Satan was sent to buffet him. But we do know this. We do know that the Paul writes the church at Galatia and he references this. He says, you know how that through the infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And my temptation which was in my flesh you despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. So here's things we do know about this thing the Apostle Paul calls a thorn. We know that it's an infirmity of the flesh. Something that he is dealing with. He recognizes it as a messenger of Satan that is sent to buffet him. And that term actually means to torment me. Now, a lot of people say this was a physical malady and that the Apostle Paul had a physical issue with his eyes. Because later on he writes, look at what large letter I have written unto you. Maybe. I don't know. But understand what the Lord told Paul in reference to it. My grace is sufficient for thee. Paul references it as a temptation. Look, it's a temptation which was in my flesh. And my temptation which was in my flesh. It was some type of infirmity of the flesh. It was some type of temptation. And obviously, according to what he said, it had something to do with his eyes. We don't know what he was dealing with. We don't know exactly what this thorn was. We just know that the Apostle Paul, in retrospect, when he looks back on it, says, listen, because of the revelations that I received, lest I be exalted above measure, there was sent unto me a messenger of Satan, buffet me. I besought the Lord thrice that it would depart from me. Lord, take it away. Lord, deliver me. Lord, get this thing out of my life. And God says, no. Ain't going to do it. My grace is sufficient for thee. This thorn, whatever it is that the Apostle Paul was, or whatever it was rather, that the Apostle Paul was dealing with, we do know that he requests release from the thorn. He wants it. He wants release from whatever this infirmity is, whatever this temptation in his flesh, whatever this problem is with his eyes, he wants deliverance from it. He wants God to relieve him of this messenger of Satan that is sent to torment him. Paul wanted deliverance from what it was that was afflicting him. He asked the Lord three times to deliver him. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. Paul asked that it would depart, and God said, I'm not going to deliver you from this, Paul. Lord, it seemed like it would be a good thing. It seemed like it would be right for you to take this from me. Even though we don't know exactly what it is, it would stand to reason that if it was something that God allowed, a messenger of Satan, it was something that, much like Job, that God allowed to have happen in his life. Paul wants freedom from it. He wants deliverance from it. He wants God to take him out of this, or take this thing from him. And God says, no. I'm not going to do it. So this begs the question, why did God say that? Why did God say, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you? Want deliverance from this? Ain't happening. I said, no, Paul. Why did God tell the Apostle Paul no? We can look at it and understand the Apostle Paul, looking back, said some things. Paul acknowledged that he was in danger of becoming prideful. He acknowledges by his own admission that lest I be exalted above measure. Looking back on it, now I realize at the time when I was asking for deliverance from it, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why I was going through this and why God was allowing this to happen to me. Whatever this infirmity of the flesh was, whatever this thorn was, I didn't understand at the time. But now looking back, I recognize that I was in danger of becoming prideful. Look at the actual translation. The Apostle Paul says, I was in danger of becoming conceited. Was in danger of, because of all the revelations that God was extending unto me, and all the visions that I was seeing, and all the things, and I was in this spiritual realm, and I was caught up into the third heaven, and I whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. I met this man, and I talked with him. Things which are unlawful for men to speak, he said. You're like me, like, wow, Paul. Bro, I don't even know if I've ever been to the first heaven, and you're like in the third heaven? You are uber spiritual. Paul said, lest I be exalted above measure. Looking back now, I recognize I was in danger of becoming prideful. Those revelations, those things that God had extended unto me and God had offered unto me according to his plan, I was in danger of letting the collective plan that God was involving me in, I was in danger of letting it mess up the individual plan that God had for me. Just as in the case of Job, God allows this messenger of Satan to buffet Paul because God has plans for Paul. And pride could jeopardize God's plan for him. Catch it. Maybe at the time, the Apostle Paul doesn't recognize. He doesn't understand. Or for? Why would you not take this from me? It's not a good thing. I'll tell you what's worse, Paul, is if you become prideful. I can't use you the way I want to use you if you become prideful. I will still perform my collective plan, but if you're going to be the individual that I use to perform it, I can't allow pride to enter into your life. Because if you start thinking it's about you, you start congratulating yourself, you need to understand, Paul, my glory I will not give to another. So this thing that I'm allowing in your life, and this thing that you want release from that I'm telling you no, it's because I have a greater plan in place. If you become prideful, that can't be performed through you. It will still happen. My name will still be spread to the Gentiles and to the kings and to the children of Israel. But I have plans to use you. Amazing how the Apostle Paul, looking back on it after the fact, recognizes that's the reason why God said no. Because he realized I was in danger. Isn't it amazing? God realizes things that I don't. God knows things about me that I don't even recognize. He does, in fact, know what we have need of before we ask or even think it. That he has a better idea than I do. That his plan is a lot more perfect than my plan. And that his desire for me supersedes my own desire. Apostle Paul, looking back, says, now, I don't understand why. Because I was in danger of becoming prideful. And if I was prideful, then God couldn't use me in the plan that he had set up for me to perform. So he had to sin. He had to allow something in my life to humble me. God is sovereign, and he does not have to answer to any of us as to why he does what he does. He doesn't. There may be some times where I don't recognize or I know why God. I don't know why God says no. I don't know why God's not delivering me out of this. I don't know why this isn't happening the way I wanted it. I don't know why I'm still in this season. I don't know why I'm still going through this. I don't know why. Can I trust him? Can I believe that his plan is better than my plan? Can I think that maybe, not right now, but maybe later on down the road, I'll be able to, like the Apostle Paul, look back and say, oh yeah, now I get it. Now I understand why he said no. Back, Paul can see the reasons why. But while he was being buffeted, he wanted relief. Oh man, that's us. And while I'm going through it, I'm not really caring about the future. Let's just be honest. I just want relief now. I just want deliverance now. Well, hold on. There's greater things for your future. I know, but that ain't here yet. I'm dealing with right now. And I'm presently in the problem. And I'm presently going through the situation. And I'm presently being persecuted, and it's not fun. And I want deliverance from it. Don't know how long it took for Paul to recognize that God was revealing his strength in Paul's weakness. Don't know how long it was before the light came on and the Apostle Paul said, I was getting all these other revelations, but there was a revelation about myself that I was missing. There was a revelation about my pride and I wasn't being as humble as I should have been. And I was becoming conceited. And now looking back, oh, I had all these other revelations and understandings that God was given unto me. But God needed to reveal something about me to me. Oh, a lot of times that's the reason why God says no. Because he's trying to reveal something to us about us. Sometimes, let me just throw this out. Sometimes God doesn't heal us of our infirmity because he's trying to make us understand that we're not as sensitive as we should be about the infirmities of others. He's trying to make us recognize something in ourselves. There's sometimes I don't get a physical healing because there's a spiritual healing that needs to take place, or there's an emotional healing that needs to take place. And if he just heals me physically, I don't get what I need emotionally, and I don't get what I need spiritually. So he says no, because his plan is greater. Come on. God truly does know what is best for us. And it may be some time before it is understood why God responded to our request with a no. Like the old song says, we'll understand it better by and by. Right now, I just want release. Right now, I just want to be delivered from it. There are many times in my life where I can look back with retrospect and say, thank you, God. Thank you for keeping me in that situation until I got out of it what I needed to get out of it. You knew. And if you'd have let me out of it prior to me getting what I needed to get, I would not be who I am today. Now, I'm going to give you some examples. This does not mean, when I put these examples up on the screen, it does not mean when this happens, this is God saying no. I'm just simply saying this is sometimes the way God says no. Sometimes these things do happen, and it's a result of God saying, no, I'm not rejecting you. I'm just rejecting your plan for yourself because I have a better one. I'm not rejecting you as an individual. I'm rejecting the process by which you're trying to procure what I have in store for you, and my way is going to be the only way you get what you need. The promotion did not go through. The deliverance is still being delayed. Healing did not happen. The blessing I was believing for is still being held back. Success I thought was so sure is still beyond my reach. And yes, the season that I thought would soon pass is still going strong. I don't want out. God, I don't want to be delivered. God, let this thing depart from me. He says, no. Now I have a choice to make. Now I can accept. He is sovereign. He knows what I have need of. That his will and his way is better than my will or my way. I can take that no he gives me and realize he's not personally rejecting me, person, rejecting my plan because it conflicts with his plan. Has said no. How do I deal with it? Because here's where the big difference is. How I respond when God says no, where the big difference happens. How I handle that when God, after I request, says no. What do I do? What's the next step? So those times, much like when we talked about the times when God says go. There are times when God lots of times says no. When saying yes would cause conflict with his plan. He will tell me no. I'm making a request, but it conflicts with his plan for me. God will say no, I am not facilitating. It's a no. What we will get out of him saying no far exceeds what we could have gotten out had he said yes. What do we mean? The reason why he's saying no is because what we're going to get later on is better than what we would get right now if he said yes. That no, that I just got to trust him, that I got to have faith, that know that he's giving me as a response right now. I've just got to trust that the reason why he's delaying or the reason why he's telling me no now is because what awaits on the other side far exceeds anything I could get right now. So he says no. When he is testing us, example the trying of our faith. Can you handle it when I tell you no? Can you handle it when you come to me and you make this request and you fast and you pray, and you seek my face, do all the things according to the word and you believe and I look at you and say, no. Are you still going to stay in it? Are you still going to trust me that I know what's best for you? Even though you pray and you're seeking, you don't understand. You can't see the end from the beginning like I can. And I know that the plans I have for you, and I know, I'm trying to use you as a vessel of honor. I'm trying to use you in my collective plan in an individual way. And so I have to tell you no. What about the ways we attempt to get a yes? God says no. And we say, I ain't good with that. God says no, and we want to hear a yes. God rejects our request because it's not a part of his plan. And we want it to be a part of his plan because it's our plan. In our mind, it's a good one. And so we do things like bargain with God. Well, this is big when it comes to healing or when it comes to something we really want that we think is, Lord, if you'll just, I've talked to many people, I prayed that God would heal my loved one. I told him if he'd heal my loved one, I'd serve him. Bargain with God. You know, God, if you do this, If you work this out, Lord, if this scratch off is a winner, I'm gonna be a giver. Newsflash: if you weren't a giver before the scratch off, you ain't gonna be a giver after the scratch off. Lord, if you just answer this, then I will. We bargain with God. We do. We made a request. God said no, and we still want a yes. God, let's talk this thing. Come, let us reason together. Come on, Lord. If you'll do this, if you'll just say yes, oh, man, it's going to be good from here on out. I'm going to do this. Well, Lord, if you won't do this for me, then I'm not going to do this for you. You ain't going to bless me with that? You ain't going to answer this prayer? Well, fine. I ain't going to church every time, then. I'll just go on Sunday mornings. Or I'll go, but I ain't going to sing. Now, I know we laugh because it seems absurd, but whether we say it or not, a lot of times it's in our actions. We're frustrated, and God's told us no. And we're not dealing well with the rejection. And so, all right, God, well, you're not going to do this for me. I'm not going to do this for you. You're not going to work this situation out. You're not going to reconcile this relationship. You're not going to do this. And I know I need it. I know I want it. If you're not going to do this for me, then I ain't going to do what you want. You bargain with God. And I got to think that chuckles. Or we attempt to persuade with performance. Case in point, we, like little children, Austin the other day, buddy had this video game that he really wanted. Came in and said, hey, Dad, is there anything I can do to make a little money? Before I know it, he had gotten both his brother and sister to pay him for cleaning their rooms. Like the kid that wants to do good things for a gift. Oh, Lord, may you bless me with this. Man, I'm going to be the best saint. Man, I'm going to serve you, and I'm going to tell everyone. Oh, you bless me with this, and I'm going to testify to everybody. I'm going to be so good. You just give me a yes.
No.
Come on, Lord. I'm going to be so good. What do you need done? You need food given to people. You need flowers sent. You, what do you need? I'll do whatever you need, God. You just say yes. Or this, I'll show him how bad I want it. That'll convince him. He's my heavenly Father, so I can manipulate a little bit, and I can show him, Lord, I know you're telling me no, but you need to know how much I really want this. And you need to know what I'm willing to do. Let me show you how much I want. Keep telling me no, but I think that maybe if I can perform enough for you, you'll change your mind. Newsflash, he won't. If it's not in his plan, it ain't going to change it. Perform all you want. And here's a problem. If our service for God is performance-based and we think that that's how we get things from him, we are sadly mistaken. We're not going to persuade him with performance. We try. That's the way we want to get a yes. That doesn't work. The bargaining with God doesn't work, and the persuading with performance doesn't work. Well, guess what? I'll get it on my own. I'll find a way to make this happen for me because I know this is what I need. I'll just have to get a yes for myself. Ain't going to do it for me, God. Ain't going to work it out for me. I'll just get it for myself. These are the ways we attempt to go around the plan of God and get it for ourselves. And when we respond this way, we get ourselves in all sorts of trouble. We do. How we respond when God says no will make a big difference in our lives going forward. But when we learn, this is huge, when we learn to accept no from him, we better handle the rejection of others. I'll show this to you. Here, I'm going to go just a few more verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to show you how this no from God made such a big difference in Paul's life. Show you how that when he learned and he realized and he was able to accept the fact that God told him no. And looking back, he realized it was for his benefit. It was for his good. How that when we learn to accept God's no, take it personally. Understand it's because it's not in his plan. He's rejecting your effort to facilitate something that's not in his plan for you. Not because he doesn't love you. Look. Here's where we find the big difference. Just a few verses down in chapter 12, this is what the Apostle Paul says. Behold, the what? The third time. Do you think it's just a coincidence that he references that time in his life when he besought the Lord thrice? And God said no. And now, writing the church at Corinth, he says this, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you and will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less. The more I reach for you, the more you reject me. What? I'm okay with it. I will gladly be be spent for you. Look at it, the New Living Translation. Now I am coming to you for the third time, and I will not be a burden to you. I don't want what you have, I want you. After all, children do not provide for their parents. Rather, parents provide for their children. I will gladly spend myself in all I have for you. Even though it seems the more I love you, the less you love me. I can handle your rejection now. I can reach for you and you not want to love me. It doesn't affect me. Why? Because I've learned how to accept a no. I've learned how to deal with rejection because sometimes God's plan is much bigger than I can even understand or imagine. And so I've come to learn how to accept no from God. And because I've learned how to accept no from Him, you rejecting me has little to no effect on me whatsoever. He's not being prideful. He's not being arrogant. What He's trying to let them know is, listen, I'm coming to you for a third time. You may reject me. You may not receive me anymore. He even admits, I'm coming with a little bit of trepidation, if you will, because I'm afraid that when I come there, there's going to be a lot of stuff that I'm going to address, and when I address it, you ain't going to like it. There's a lot of stuff going on in the church, and when I get there, I'm going to name it. I'm going to spell it out. And I'm going to reach for you in love. And I'm going to be spent for you. I'm going to pray and fast. And I'm going to get in touch with God. And I'm going to touch heaven for your sake. Even if you reject me. The more I love you, the less I be loved. I'm okay with it. Because I've learned how to accept rejection. Because I don't take it personal. I understand it's about the plan. In closing, you can stand to your feet. It's interesting how the Apostle Paul used the rejection, if you will, that he received from God. It's a foundation for him being willing to accept the rejection of the church. He did. God said no, and I've learned to be okay with that. Looking back now, I recognize why he said no, and I'm a better man because of it. I'm now able to fulfill his plan for me. Because I was willing to take his no. And because I responded correctly, now, guess what? I'm learning more and more about God's strength. And one of the ways that He strengthened me is to be able to take rejection from you. I'll still love you. And I'll gladly therefore be spent and spend all that I have for you, even though it seems the more I love you, the less I'm loved. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. God, help us. I know many times, Lord, in our spiritual immaturity, we act like children. We come to you and we request and we ask, Lord, you tell us no, and we pitch a fit or we get upset or we try to do things our own way or we try to bargain with you. God, help us to understand, Lord, it's not a rejection of us personally. You love us. God, you want what's best for us. And for that very reason alone, you tell us no. Because your plan is better, because you know the plans that you have for us, and you know where you are leading us and taking us. Though sometimes it's hard to deal with it, God, and it's hard to accept it. If we learn how to accept a no from you, it helps us in being able to love others even though they reject us. It helps us be able to reach to others even when they pull away from us. Or no is such a little word that makes such a big difference. We love you. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And everybody said amen. God bless you. You may go in Jesus' name.